Well, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott with us back again every single week. Even when we're traveling, he's still just gracious to provide the updates that we need. I mean, a lot going on, Dr. Kirk Elliott, andweknow.com/gold in the description box below. A lot of you have been clicking on that link and placing phone calls to him and his team and keeping them busy, even through the holidays. And it's been absolutely amazing. So glad that you guys are reaching out to him and watching these videos. It's certainly been wonderful to watch it all play for all of us.
Well, it's a pleasure and a blessing and an honor to actually do this with you every week. And this week, you know, one of the last things that we're going to talk about today is, I think, one of the most important developments on the supply and demand of gold, like, ever. I mean, it's a big week for everybody that's been investing in metals. This is going to be, I think, pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And, you know, we've had a lot of stuff going. We're going to get to the BRICS stuff here in a moment. But, you know, all these picks that have been playing out through this week, of course, the attacks are already coming. We've been watching that. And it's been interesting to watch this play out. They always use the same playbook. They smear. They do all they can to destroy people's their whole entire life because they can't stand it. They're about to be placed under a microscope for all of their corruption.
Yeah.
Find it quite amazing.
It is, and I have a feeling that once the confirmation hearings come in for a lot of these cabinet positions, it's not going to be over then either. You know, I think there's going to be smear campaigns then. Everything to discredit Trump, the people that he picked that are actually going to probably expose a lot of skeletons that are in the closet, right? Really expose the globalist agenda and hopefully shut it down.
Right.
And so, you know, the next 6 weeks up until January 20th, I truly think are one of the most dangerous periods in the history of America because you don't know what they're going to do, LT. But then even after Trump gets in, they are not going to stop the battle. Why? Because you said it, they have the same playbook. They don't know how to run a different play, right? It's like, and right. Ultimately, if you're a football coach, and you run the same play, you'd run it up the middle every single time. Ultimately, the defense is going to figure it out and stop you. Well, I think this is what's happening now is they don't have another playbook. And so, you know, just politically, a couple of the things that comes from their stinking playbook is, are they really going to run Hillary again in 2028? I mean, that was a news story this week. And then to make matters worse... What might even be worse than Hillary is AOC possibly running in 2028. It's like, what? Wasn't Kamala bad enough? Now you're going to go to the bottom of the barrel? Really? But yeah, that's the same old playbook.
Yep. And they're trying to place around the world, of course, with this playbook here. You wanted to share the BRICS issue. I mean, President Trump brought this up. I shared it in one of my podcasts. He threatened the BRICS countries with 100% tariff if they even try to create a new currency to replace the US dollar. I mean, that's huge.
It's massive. And so Trump wants to do this, right? 100% tariff means that all Chinese goods in America are going to be double the price. I mean, they're just going to double the price. You know, that's what 100% tariff does. So this to me is going to ultimately end up in some kind of a battle. Right. And it's like, so when we see these kind of stories, when we see these policies being proposed, what are the implications? Right. I mean, this is the big part about it. So, you know, he was going to do anywhere from 10 to 60% tariffs on Chinese goods. And then he basically said earlier this week, no, we're going to do 100% if you continue on with your move to replace the dollar.
Right. Right.
So here's where it gets. The political economic dynamics of this are pretty extreme because what's China going to do, right? Option number one is they say, oh, okay, we won't actually replace the US dollar and de-dollarize the world, which is their entire agenda, right? I don't think that's an option. I don't think they're going to do that. So what could they do? The second thing they could do is they could say, okay, we're going to slap tariffs on American goods coming into China and the BRICS countries, just like you're doing with ours.
Right.
Well, I don't think that's going to work either because And when you think about it, how many U.S. goods actually go into China? Probably like none or very few, because they have their own goods. They're the manufacturer superpower of the world.
Right.
So the third option is the dangerous one. And this is what I think they're going to do. They still have, as part of the arrows in their quiver, $1 trillion worth of U.S. treasuries that they hold and own. So if they start dumping those on the open market, here's where we start going into the new Trump presidency, you know, his second term. If they do that and dump U.S. treasuries on the open market, it trashes the dollar. So what are the implications of that? It's basically going to be very inflationary, right? Which is, to me, there's always a good end game for us to what they do. Because if they do that, that means Chinese goods coming into America are going to be even more expensive, right, for U.S. citizens, right? If they destroy our dollar, it devalues it. It's going to take more of our currency to buy Chinese goods. That's the equivalent of a tariff, right? So it might be a double tariff, right? It's like pretty much. So that one is going to have bad ramifications. But for us, if they do that, the policy to actually fix that is, well, you have to raise interest rates to slow down the deflationary spiral. Well, the devaluing of the dollar, which is an inflationary spiral,
right?
So they're trying to really come at Trump at all angles, politically, discredit his cabinet picks, tank the economy. So what does he inherit? Just a cesspool of an economy, right? Which it's not that he created it. It's there. It's already there, and they want to make it worse. So if that happens, that's the precursor to war, right? That's economic warfare. That's a currency war. That's a trade war. Try to defeat your enemy economically before you do the nuclear option, which is actually simply go to war, because then people are going to die and it's going to be awful. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants to fight America, right? Militarily.
Right.
But the BRICS nations, they just might, LT, right? Because you've got Russia and you've got China and you've got, they all have nuclear capability and they do want to be the world's reserve currency. It's their goal. It's their agenda. And last year, in August, when they had their last BRICS meeting in Durban, South Africa, that's what Putin said. He started off the whole meeting. We're going to de-dollarize the world and it's irreversible. Well, now just this week, the BRICS nations met again in response to all this tariff talk, right? And what did they say? Well, they basically said, we're kind of going to double down. We are going to fight hard against the tariffs against the BRICS nations. Well, of course they're going to say that. They want to be the world's reserve currency. But this isn't a new thing, right? So like this article that you have on the screen, this goes back to, you know, the kind of the genesis of some of this back to January of 23. And what was this? It wasn't necessarily a BRICS thing. However, what did they do back then? They basically admitted most of the OPEC nations into the BRICS nations, right? Whether it's Iran, United Arab Emirates, Argentina, some of these countries, right? So this first deal signaled what they want to do to the U.S. dollar by eliminating the petrodollar, which is the demand for our currency. Because when all oil settlements are traded in U.S. dollars, that gives us built-in demand. So this agreement that they came up with China and Saudi Arabia, it was actually with Saudi Arabia's energy giant Aramco. That is their oil company. It's kind of the state oil company, right? So the deal was 83.7 billion yuan to deal with Chinese partners to do what? The construction of an integrated refinery and petrochemical complex in China. So Saudi Arabia is spending 83 billion yuan to build this in China. And to what end? So later on down in this article, a couple paragraphs down, it's because they want to be an all-inclusive source of energy and chemicals for China's long-term energy security. What does that say? That says China is in this for the long haul, right? They want to have the connections, the bilateral agreements, and the agreements within the BRICS nations to be energy independent. It's like, okay, note to self.
Right.
We should have been trying to do that, right? Mm. But we didn't. With the globalist agenda, the Biden administration, when we're doing things to actually benefit the global agenda and diminish the prosperity of America, right? We don't have a long-term energy security policy. We were exporting that. We gave it away. China's doing the absolute opposite. So this, to me, was the beginning of the demise of the petrodollar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that was in January of 2023. Now, right after that, Russia, the R in BRICS, right? So what did they do? They basically then said, well, we're going to sign an agreement that says all exports coming out of Russia are going to be traded in yuan. Right? So, okay. So that's an interesting story because that diminishes the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency.
That's right.
For all international settlements, you know, going back to 1944 and the Bretton Woods Act, right, is traded in U.S. dollars to bring international stability to the global monetary union. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's what the value of a reserve currency does. It just makes things easier and consistent when you have one currency to do it.
Right.
The petrodollar is just the oil settlements, which is a massive thing because how many countries use oil? Like all of them,
right?
So in that second article that you and I were sharing, it talks about Russia and what they did. This was last year as well, right? So when you look
at this one here, Russia's been a major driver in the shift away from trade. Okay,
exactly.
Russia using yuan to settle exports. Got it. Okay.
Yep. So when you look at that, not only do you have China and Saudi Arabia cutting deals, you've got Russia saying we're not going to trade in U.S. dollars anymore for international trade. We're simply not. We're going to instead use the yuan, which builds up their own currency. So even back then, before Putin decided I'm going to make this announcement and say we're going to de-dollarize the world and it's our objective. LT, they were already doing it, right? So this diminishes demand for the dollar. It increases demand for all of these currencies. And then you fast forward to this year, October 24th of this year, when they decided we're going to have our own BRICS currency. And it's going to be 40% backed by gold, 60% backed by the collective currencies in the BRICS union.
Wow.
And see, this is what caused Trump, what we started the show with, to say, good grief. They really do want the world's reserve currency. We're going to slap 100% tariffs on China, which, so why is this a big deal, right? So this map that you have, if you look at the red countries, that was the original BRICS nations, you know, going back 15 years, however long the BRICS nations have been around. Well, then in January, they added Iran, United Arab Emirates, Egypt, Ethiopia, right? And, you know, for since 2010 until 2024, during that 14-year span, they added those countries, right? So then it was BRICS plus, right? Now, what they just did on October 24th is these green countries applied for membership into BRICS. So look at the map as a global whole. That's a lot of the world, right? So it's about, when you add up all of the other countries that made it BRICS plus, it's literally about 70% of the world's population. So this is why this is important. When they start cutting agreements with each other to just trade back and forth in yuan instead of something different, it's not like some dinky country on the map, like French Guiana and the Cayman Islands, right? It's like, okay, that wouldn't matter. Right. But it's 70% of the world's population, which is why Trump is very concerned about it. And so because the implications are currency war, trade war, economic warfare, ultimately ending up to maybe the end game, which would be a global military war.
Right.
And we're starting to see that develop now with, you know, Ukraine saying there is no other option other than us getting into NATO. Said that like 3 days ago. Well, if they do that, well, then all of the NATO countries by decree have to defend Ukraine. When Putin signed the nuclear doctrine saying, if anybody comes against us, we can respond with nuclear capability. So you add all of this together, it's like, is somebody actually trying to destroy the global economy and the U.S. economy and bring us into a war? And this is what Trump inherits. Probably so. I mean, I can't. Can't guarantee that, right? I can't get into the mind of Putin or President Xi in China or all these other globalist institutions, World Economic Forum, and so forth. But we kind of can because they brag about it,
right?
And we can read about it in all of their board meeting minutes and every public statement that they make that says America's evil, Israel is evil. We're going to destroy the big Satan and the little Satan, and we are going to have our globalist agenda fulfilled.
Right, right.
Right. So this is the battle. It's an ideological battle, a spiritual battle that's all manifesting itself in physical battles right now, whether it's economic, political, military, all of it. And this is what Trump inherits.
Man.
Which is why he had to do what he did with the tariff thing. See, here's where I do think this is going to be an economic battle, right? Because what did Trump also do last week? You know, he met with the president of Mexico and he told her, he said, look, we're going to slap tariffs on Mexican goods if you don't help get these illegals back and stop this sieve at the border. Right. So Mexico, they're not as wealthy as the entire BRICS nation consortium, right? So she said, okay, yeah, don't do that. That's going to destroy our economy. That's what tariffs do when nobody's going to want to buy their goods because they're too expensive. Yeah. So she said, yeah, well, let's try this, right? We don't want this tariff to destroy our economy. So this is what's going to help America. And this is where America is going to be great again. We are going to be prosperous again. Trump is going to fix the things that are ailing us, but it's not going to be an easy path to get there, LT.
Right, right. It's kind of reminds me of the past. Did you see where Trudeau was had a meeting at Mar-a-Lago and President Trump said, well, you know, he was complaining about the tariffs going to be set. He said, well, maybe we can make you the 51st state.
Yeah, and you can be the governor of it. Well, this is where these woke agenda nations, and Trudeau is like really one of the worst of the worst. When he wants to criminalize people that speak truth and get rid of free speech and put into practice, I don't know what you would call it. It's right out of Hitler's playbook is what it is, where you speak against the trans community. Well, you're going to have to go into a camp. You're gonna not like some kind of a, you know, imprisonment, but you're gonna have to be retrained. We've got to retrain your brain to think like us and not be so, you know, dogmatic, right, or whatever. I don't know, but this is right out of Hitler's playbook. You don't agree with our ideology, we're going to reprogram you, and we're gonna force it by causing you to go into these reprogramming camps where you can think straight. And if you don't pass the test, you're not getting out, right? I mean, these are the kind of things that crazy people do, that people with the woke agenda do. But I think they're waking up to the fact. The world is starting to wake up to the fact that the Trump election is case in point. But it's the same thing that you started with, LT. It's they keep running the same play over and over and over again, and the defense is going to figure out how to stop it. I think America has woken up and realized all we have to do to stop this is just simply say no.
That's right. That's right. They've had enough. And then, you know, I've played a lot of video clips in the past week of these folks in Chicago, especially yelling at the Democrats who used to basically vote for them, you know, every single election season because they were told, you're a Democrat, so you do what you're told. Now they're telling them, we're done with you. We've woken up and Trump's coming in. He's about to clean house. And so that's big. And it's have an effect on business too. You sent this, this one from Zero Hedge, visualizing the survival rate of U.S. businesses over the last decade.
Yeah.
And it has a chart here tracking the survival rate of all private American companies born in 2013, categorized by industry. So what's this chart all about? I mean, the one we're looking at here.
So to me, this is the net effect on businesses of woke agenda policies, right? Because what's involved in that time span there? COVID, right? And so you go back to 2017, you know, the basis of it, most American companies survived, right? You'd always have just bad ideas and bad management, or they had a bad product and they would fail. But overall, it was a healthy environment, you know, under Trump, where companies would survive. But since then, you had COVID, you had travel restrictions, you had mom and pop businesses that would shut down, you had banks starting to fail, and they weren't giving out loans to small businesses so they could succeed. And then during that time, these companies, especially during COVID, they had to dig into their savings just to survive. So now you get to this point, many of them have collapsed. When you look at where we were in 2017 until now, it's on average a 60% fail rate of companies that start up. Right? I mean, they're failing. So what does this mean? What does this mean for Trump moving forward? It means he has a very low floor, right? So if he were to actually be president again, like in 2017, he's got all these businesses that are clicking. You just change some of the policies, you lower taxes, you create an environment that creates jobs and gets people spending, and it's great. But now he's starting at such a low point, it's going to take so much just to get back to where we were in 2017. It's just, this is why I started off the way that I did. His journey is not going to be an easy one to fix the American economy. It's going to be brutal.
Very difficult, and especially dealing with, you know, we were talking about different countries, especially like China. China's banks are now blocking clients from investing in physical gold products. This is from insider Ernest Hoffman. What's going on here?
Well, so this is, I think, what this is the most important story for gold and silver, probably of the year. Because if you look back at what China has been doing for the last year, and you and I covered this, we covered this about a year ago, right, is that they were encouraging Chinese citizens to buy physical gold. It's like, why would they do that? Well, they wanted that would be so much demand. I mean, there's a lot of Chinese citizens, right? So it would, the demand would go up a lot, and it caused the price of gold to go up, which it did, right? It went up a lot in the last year. So did silver. Silver did even better. So as they are acquiring thousands of tons of gold, right, over the decades, to back up their what's now going to be the BRICS common currency, they wanted their citizens to help the price of gold go up, because this builds their value base, right? It gives them more money. But now what this signifies to me, when you've got some of the largest commercial banks in China telling the Chinese citizens, it's like, hey, if you're going to use the money in your bank account to buy physical gold, we're simply going to block the transaction.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's what their policy says. So what does that tell us? Does it tell us that China hates gold? Nope. Or else they wouldn't be buying it by the thousands of tons, right? It tells us that they don't want their citizens to have a private asset.
Oh, wow.
So to me, that tells me that China is actually, the true China is now being exposed, which is a communist command and control economy. They want to control the masses. What's the best way to control the masses? Everything you and I have talked about for the last 2 years, which is central bank digital currencies are coming. Ideologically based spending cuts you off from your bank accounts if your ideology doesn't match up with theirs. This to me is the first step of that. But this tells me, LT, that CBDCs and digital currency are probably right around the corner. But because they don't want people with the ability, once this is announced that they're going completely to CBDC and digital currency, they don't want people with the ability to buy gold or silver, you know, to actually act as an alternative currency. That's a private transaction, gold and silver, private transactions. So here's where I think the dominoes start to fall. I think China's just going to be the first. Right. And you're going to have then more banks in China that do the same thing. Well, then you're going to have banks around the world saying, well, we're about to issue our CBDCs as well. Let's cut off our people from being able to buy physical metals.
My goodness.
Right? So, and we're already seeing that now. And when this is what we do as a company, right? We allocate physical gold and silver coins and bars into clients' portfolios. Now right. we're focused on silver because it's better than gold at this point. But
right.
but the point is, this is what we do. And already, you know, over the last 2 years, I've seen a dramatic shift in the willingness of banks to wire funds for their clients. Right. So we've got clients who are saying, well, my bank won't let me wire the funds. It's like, why?
Whoa, you know, wow.
Push back and say, it's not your money, stinking bank. It's ours. So just wire it. We've given you the wiring instructions. Well, boy, is this fraud? You know, is this company fraudulent? What, how long have you known these people? What we've been the wise steward of all of your money for all this time. Why do you want to change now? Trust us, right? I mean, you get this song and dance. Right. And sometimes our clients who are buying gold and silver, A, they want to just not fight the battle, right? It's like, I don't want to deal with the bank. They're not letting me. So it's like, okay, just cut to the chase. Just write us a check. Mm. Right? Don't talk to the teller about sending a wire because they're getting opposition more and more and more and more. To me, that's a precursor of them just stopping the transaction altogether, like what China did. So here's where, if you read a lot of the mainstream media, financial news commentaries about this, what China just did, it's like, ooh, this is going to cause gold to come down in price because there's not going to be as much demand anymore. Right. Maybe immediately, that's the result. However, what I think this is going to do to people all over the world is create so much demand for gold and silver because they're going to think, is my bank next? I better get into it before my bank doesn't let me change money for gold or silver. Right? So I think the opposite of what financial news is saying, it's like, I think this direction that China's taking, which I think is going to spread through banks around the world, is going to be the biggest push and propellant and spark for gold and silver to really start soaring a lot. Not that we're disappointed with the growth. You know what I mean? It's been incredible. But just wait. Just wait until fear starts getting into the hearts and minds of people thinking, what if my bank doesn't allow me to buy what I want to buy?
Right.
See, this is, I think, the unintended consequence that the banks are going to face is gold and silver are going to go up when they wanted it to come down. And I think the very fact that they might just actually stop people from allocating into physical gold and silver because they can control the money is going to cause a massive rush into exactly what they're trying to stop.
Man, that's amazing. And they can get with you, right? Their precious metals with their retirement accounts. I mean, you've got a lot of help going on there, correct?
Oh, yeah. Just call us, 720-605-3900 and say LT sent you, or you can go to endweknow.com/gold. And my team will just ask you a few questions. What are you trying to protect? We want to hear your goals, your dreams, your concerns, you know, what you want to do, and we'll help you get to that point. And it's a real easy process. We want to make the transition easy and the burden light. But here's where other countries are now starting to do the same thing that we've been doing for years, right? Mm-hmm. You look at Poland, for example. So Poland, it's not China. It's not the United States. It's a relatively small country. You know what? In 2024, they were the largest purchaser of gold on the planet. Poland. Right. So what do they see? Poland is sitting right in the backyard of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, and they're afraid it's going to spread, you know, a little bit to the West and start to impact them. They're afraid of nuclear war. They're afraid of a regional conflict growing into a global one. They're afraid that the global debt is going to spiral out of control. And what have they been doing? They've been allocating into gold.
Oh,
to
wow.
the point where they are the largest, you know, purchaser of gold in the last 12 months, Poland. Mm. So to me, that signifies a strong leader, right? When you've got somebody in Poland, I don't know who the president of Poland is. I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. And if you showed me a picture, I wouldn't recognize the person, whether it's a guy or girl or whoever.
Right.
But what their policies are telling me is they're against the woke agenda, the globalist agenda, the Bank for International Settlements, the World Bank, the World Economic Forum, and they're doing what they want to do to help protect them as a country. And we're doing the same thing as individuals, right? So this to me is exciting in the fact of it's confirmation, LT, to all of the viewers of And We Know that what we've been talking about for the last couple of years, countries are now doing the same thing to a large degree.
That's right. That's
yeah. Right. So to me, it's, I hate hearing these kinds of stories because it means the global economy probably is going to come crashing down. But yeah. I love it that we have been in the right place at the right time for the last couple of years. And it's going to be an amazing gift, I think, for people when they choose to allocate properly.
That's right. And you guys have been a gift for all of us. AndWeKnow.com/gold. Just click on that link below this video. Reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team, and they will help you along with precious metals. A great investment, biblical move for all of us. If you're just sitting there waiting, it's a great time, folks, to get involved and jump in. Really looking forward to hearing more from you next week, Dr. Kirk Elliott, as we continue through the month of December.
Sounds good. I can't wait.
All right. Bye for now.